You're listening to Pioneers of the Planet. The show is coming to you from the United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development in New York. I am Madhyama Subramanian. Pioneers of the Planet brings you one-on-one with people who have consistently worked for a simple cause: to create a planet that is cleaner, healthier, and sustainable for everyone. My guest for today is Dr. Tariq Banuri. A national of Pakistan, Dr. Banuri is the director of the UN Division on Sustainable Development. Prior to this, he was director of the Stockholm Environment Institute's Future Sustainability Program. A man of ideas, ideals, and imagination, Dr. Banuri's work merges both conceptual and practical issues of development policy. He has served on various national and international policy development bodies and research networks, including the Board of Governors of Pakistan's Central Bank, Pakistan's Environmental Protection Council, the World Future Council, and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, in which he was a convening lead author. In recognition of his services to research and education, the President of Pakistan conferred upon him the medal Sitara-e-Imtiaz. Welcome, Dr. Banuri. It's a pleasure having you with us today.
I'm glad to be here.
We've heard a lot. You've done a lot. Where did your journey into sustainable development really begin?
Well, it's always a little bit accidental. I had finished my PhD, and I was working on issues of philosophy of knowledge. You know, why do people think about things in a particular way, and what difference does it make? And I started looking at forests, the way in which people think about forests. That was one of my earlier books, Who Will Save the Forest, co-edited with Frederick Magnin. And when we looked at how people conceptualize forests, you start engaging with a different community of people. And to use a more recent metaphor, you then realize that the planet is not too big to fail. And, you know, we are doing things, we have broken through a kind of a natural barrier, and we are doing things which are at enough of a large scale that we now need to respond to it. I mean, that's basically, this was about 20 years ago when I started work on this. And then one thing leads to another. You know, you begin to engage with different communities, different people, different ideas. And that's how it has happened.
Any particular reason when you had started on, why did you pick up forests to start?
Well, it's difficult to say. I think at that time, my motivation really was the notion of social justice. And the question was that there were different type of people engaged in protecting forests, you know, communities which were largely illiterate, you know, scientific foresters, bureaucrats, activists with very different levels of education, organization, power, both political power and communicative power. And the question was, you know, when people in such different levels of power engage with each other, what happens and how do you make sure that there is some form of justice in those communities? So it was more motivated by the notion of justice. And I must say, to this day, my notion of sustainable development or environment is driven by the notion of, you know, what is just? How do we behave justly as a group and as a species? And it's, if one person does something, you can talk about justice in an individual sense. But when a collectivity does something, then you have to talk about justice in a more collective sense. And this notion of planetary justice, you know, how do we as a species engage with nature, you know, what our impact is and, you know, how do we moderate it, that really is, it's also driven by the notion of justice. So initially it was just looking at different communities and their balance of power and trying to understand how they could engage with each other in a much more equal terrain. But then you realize that the global community is also making an effect, and that too is not just in the way in which it was organized at that time. So that's essentially the starting point. But then many more things happened in the meantime, you know. I mean, for instance, I after I started looking at it, I decided to go back. I was at a UN Research Institute in Helsinki at that time, but I decided to go back and set up an institute in Pakistan. I set up the Sustainable Development Policy Institute, which is still an influential institute in Pakistan. The main purpose was to organize policy research advocacy and policy advice in an integrated manner on a reconceptualization of development, which includes environmental and social concerns integrally into its domain. That's why sustainable development. And I think this is now 17 years later, and I'm still pretty much at that place.
So how difficult is it? What are the challenges you face when you have to translate a lot of these ideas into reality in terms of policies?
It's difficult, but it's not. It's like when you think about turning a ship around, you know, you don't do it on a dime. You have to think about, you know, how to convert your energy and, you know, how to join forces with others. And a lot of our actions, I mean, you know, when I say this whole process is happening globally, and globally there are people with many different motivations, many different, needs, ranging from survival needs to luxury needs in the whole range of things. And you have to try to bring people on a platform together.
So how do you do that?
No, you begin to realize that it is a generational issue. I mean, it is not really something that I would say, oh, look, I mean, you know, I'm going to work on this for 2 years and then it's going to get done. It is really the challenge that lies before my generation and perhaps your generation as well. I mean, it's an unfinished agenda, so we'll have to pass it on. So the question to ask is, well, there are two questions. One is that at first stage, you realize that literally almost anything that you do can be useful because there's just so much to be done. Everybody can pick up a little piece and start running with it. The other thing is that you also realize that to the extent that you can build partnerships, across groups, across countries, across domains, you know, there are people working on economics or social or political or labor, you know, bringing some of those people together, you know, between international and national. To the extent that you can build those partnerships, you can achieve much, much more success and create the basis for action that is more effective. So, for the first 10 years or so, I worked mainly at the national level. And things were difficult, as they still are in Pakistan. And now I'm working at the global level, and things are just as difficult. But I think we have made some progress over the last 20 years in terms of creating new mechanisms through push these processes, and more importantly, new partnerships. I mean, if I can speak parochially, when I first started in Pakistan, one of the major innovations that the environmental community did was, you know, one of the first India-Pakistan environmental conferences. Now, the India-Pakistan Environment Conference was one of the first conferences between Pakistanis and Indians in government, civil society, media, everybody together in trying to come up with a common agenda. This was, at that time, a little bit of an unheard process. And yet, I think the partnerships that we have established have gone far beyond any of the other difficulties that might arise in the geopolitical arena. So building these kind of partnerships is one way of, you know, developing, creating a much larger community that can engage with this agenda. Look, this is a civilizational agenda. This is not an agenda for a particular organization. This is for us as a human civilization to address this problem. So our task is to build this large community. To the extent that I'm now working in the UN, I'm trying to contribute to the UN's lawmaking role. I mean, the agreements and the conventions and, you know, the decisions and in particular forums. But I also do not forget that at the end of the day, it is a civilizational agenda that involves media, it involves business, it involves NGOs and civil society, it involves educators, governments, in all of its domains. And it's building that partnership together so we can begin to work in each of our domains and move it forward. That's really a larger agenda. And I think on that, we have done quite a bit over the last 20 years.
Which are the groups which are the most challenging to interface with?
Well, at some level, every group is is very challenging because, you know, people are looking at things from their perspective, and it's not as if they have a lot of free time to think about additional agenda. So you really have to work with them starting from their own concerns. My advice when I was working with my colleagues in Pakistan, and I still hold to that, my advice is that I do not problematize institutions or even individuals. I problematize the issues. I try to be, you know, practically try to say how we can, you know, build some of these institutions together. So one thing is, if I'm working with, let's say, the business community, I would try to work with whoever are the most progressive elements in that community, because once I find partners within that community, they can talk to the others. You know, they're not seen as outsiders. I'm seen as an outsider who has to be resisted, but they can talk much more actively. If I talk to parliamentarians, I take the same role. If I talk to bureaucrats, I take the same attitude. And so you really have to find who within this particular community can lead that process, and you empower them, you strengthen them by the ideas, by the analysis, and you know, just by the background that you can provide to them. So, I mean, I don't hierarchize people in that way. I mean, you know, people are difficult because they have their own work to do, and you're trying to engage them in an additional task, which is not easy. Then you have to find the ones who are the most willing and the most capable to do it, and you try to help them so that they can do it within their own communities. As one of my friends keeps saying, he says, there's no point in hitting your head against the wall. You have to look for the door. So I try to look for the door in moving this agenda.
All your work so far, since you also have a lot of ideas and then, you know, translating into action, what are the lessons you've had to unlearn? Like, what are the theories which maybe didn't make sense in the real world?
Well, I mean, the simplest one is I was trained as an economist. I have a PhD in economics, and I found that a lot of the theoretical apparatus that I brought with, I had to pretty much leave at the door and try to relearn a way of thinking about economic society and politics on the basis of the practical experience that we were coming up against. So that's a very important lesson that I feel that I had to relearn.
It was a very interesting thing when we were doing our research on you. You've written books, you've given lectures, you're on Facebook. So that was quite an interesting thing to see. Is this a conscious way to sort of make yourself open to, like, informal modes of communication and spread the word?
Well, I don't know. I probably won't say that. I think it's more out of curiosity. And, you know, I have younger nephews and nieces who keep saying, you know, uncle, how come you're not on Facebook? So I said, well, what is Facebook? You know, so the best way to do it is to try it out and see how it works. It's worked mainly as a family thing, but once in a while, you know, I can post things there and, you know, and I can get messages from other people, friends, which have kind of helped me. But I can't say that I'm, you know, this has become the most dominant form of media for me. It's one of those things.
How do you think communication to the people about a lot of these concepts that you're talking about can be strengthened further?
Well, the big problem that I feel is that what this agenda does, or what the Sustainable Development Agenda is about, it is really about the planetary phase of civilization. It is when people at the collective global level realize that we are responsible. I mean, in some sense, it is the true form of globalization. It is globalization not in the sense of what is happening to us, but we as a species are responsible, that we will behave collectively. And so there are a number of directions in which this global civilization is taking place, but without communication, no civilization has ever taken place. So communications is actually the glue that builds these societies together. And, you know, fortunately, one of the reasons why we can have a global civilization or a planetary civilization is because we now have the communicative tools to engage with people at a much larger scale. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you know, I'm curious about things, and I sort of try to say, well, maybe this one can help and maybe this one can help. In the end, all of these tools can help. If you ask me how to make it stronger, well, that's not really my field. I mean, my field is to speak on things that I know about and to use whatever tools people like you bring to make available to me.
So what do you see? Is there hope for the future? What's the kind of future you envision?
You know, one of the things that we have done, there is something we call the Great Transition idea. I mean, the Great Transition idea is very simply this, that as we look to the future, we realize that there are lots of difficulties with the business as usual, and we find new forms of values, institutions, structures emerging as a response to them. But there is, as always, there is a tension. And one side of the tension leads towards a greater civilizational role so that we can act as a collectivity. The other side of the tension leads towards much more of a paranoid role where we all sort of, you know, build up our little fortresses and try to protect us from each other. And at some level, both of them are possible. So my sort of sense of myself is that I'm part of a community which strongly believes that the first one is not only possible, but only through our collective action can we make it happen. So to that extent, how shall we say, it's very much possible. That makes me an optimist. But it's an optimism of the will, as you would, you know, because we can make it happen. It's not an optimism of probabilities. I mean, you know, I would not assign a probability to it. But I think it is really within us as a human species to try to solve this problem as we have solved some of the problems in the past. So that's really what makes me an optimist. And that's really what makes me speak out in this or other occasions.
Great. So on that optimistic note, we sign out of Pioneers of the Planet. Thank you so much, Dr. Banuri, for spending time with us on the show.
Thank you.
Pioneers of the Planet is a joint project of the Stakeholder Forum and the BBC World Service Trust. It is produced with the cooperation of UN Radio under a grant from the Netherlands Ministry of Agriculture, Nature and Food Quality.